The content of this show is for educational and informational purposes only and is a generalization of common DIY projects. Each home project may encounter unforeseen issues with specific circumstances that may not be covered in discussion on this program. This program makes no representations as to the completeness of the information and expressly disclaims any implied warranties as to the fitness of the information to any particular purpose. Before starting any projects, it's recommended the homeowner research the skills and proper materials necessary, as well as any and all local requirements for permits. If there is any doubt, it is advised a licensed contractor be consulted prior to commencing your particular project.
Welcome to Dream Home Ninjas. This is Mike,
Keith,
and Josh.
And today we're going to be talking about Plum Bum.
Plum Bum? What's Plum Bum, Mike?
Plum Bum is lead. Lead safety.
Lead. Good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. All
right. So let's talk about lead safety then.
We know you ate paint chips, Keith.
Let's get to the first root part of it is, where did lead come from? Why was lead used? And then we'll get into a little bit more about lead safety and where it was used and what to be concerned about.
Yeah, how long has lead been around?
Lead has been around since 4000 BC.
Really?
Like being used in products since like 4000 BC.
The first artifact was found 4000 BC. It was Egyptian, and it was a little artifact that was made out of lead.
Oh, wow.
That was the first piece of material that was made out of lead that they found so far.
Wow. Because, I mean, lead is one of the elements on, like, the periodic chart.
Right.
Correct. It's a very soft, malleable metal material that has been able to be formed into many different things over the years.
Yeah, like toothpaste.
Yeah, sure. I'm sure they used it in the container at one point. I don't know.
No, I mean, there was a big scandal about the Chinese shipping a bunch of toothpaste over here.
That's
with
true.
Lead in there a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, it works everywhere. It makes stuff shiny.
Right.
That was the whole point of it being in paint, right?
It kept it longer, it kept it stronger, it made it more vibrant, I guess we would say.
Yeah, and I mean, that's way more important than our health.
Yeah, for sure. The first mass-produced lead was the Romans.
Oh, wow.
Going back to the Romans again.
It's always the damn Romans.
We do that a lot here.
Yes.
They are always the root cause of all of this.
And that's where the plum bum came from, is the actual Latin word for lead. It was plum bum.
Oh, I gotcha. You had me lost on that word for a while.
Yes. All right. And plumbers work with a lot of piping, and you know, the Romans did a lot of plumbing, and the people that did plumbing were working with lead. That's where plumber came from.
Oh, wow. From the word, the root word of lead. Wow.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Right?
Huh. Okay.
So they used to make their line their aqueducts so the water wouldn't be able to get it out, because they would bring water from a higher source and through to the city, and all of that was lined with lead.
Oh, wow.
And then to be able to get rid of water, the piping that they made was pretty much inclusively, and that's why part of the reason why the Roman Empire fell is because you lose memory because of the lead getting into the water. And lead gets more activated when you have hot water.
Oh.
The molecules of the water move faster, will be able to absorb the lead out of things faster.
And they had just gotten into like heating up and a little more comfort. Okay.
And some people have said that that was the root cause of why Roman Empire fell, is because everybody's drinking and using lead for everything. It made their memory and their mind dumbed down.
Yeah.
Well, I feel great.
Which after that, that's when it went into the Dark Ages after the Roman Empire fell.
So, wow.
And they didn't utilize a lot of the technology that the Romans did.
Lead was the cause of the Dark Ages. That's crazy.
We never really learned from the Romans, unfortunately, at that time, because then lead came back with a vengeance. And
well, I mean, it's been in plumbing still.
Like, it's been in plumbing. Yeah. They were using it for drainage for plumbing in the turn of the century. They were using it for water services coming to people's houses. They added it to paints inside, outside of people's houses. So lead has become utilized very strongly.
Pencils? I mean, it was lead pencils. That was the whole thing.
Yeah.
That's until they switched to graphite.
Well, yeah, graphite now.
Correct.
Yeah, and then bullets.
Yeah.
You fill them full of lead.
Fill them full of lead.
Even just imagine, like, those guys, you know, they were in the Civil War and Revolution War. You know what I mean? Like,
it's not bad enough getting shot.
They probably survived after they, you know, if they got shot or whatever, maybe they survived. They probably eventually died from lead poisoning.
Well, that's why they had to pull the bullet out, because I've heard a lot of times now that they don't even have to pull the bullet out. They can leave it in you.
And a lot of times,
more
yeah.
damage to actually remove it.
Cool.
Floating around in there. You can't go through a metal detector anymore, but you know.
So they decided to use it in paints because it helped corrosion resistance with painting it that way. Back in the turn of the century where they were painting a lot of houses, it would actually keep the outside of the house painted, the paint longer. So if you have that old of a house, you have lead contaminants probably outside.
Yeah.
Into the dirt and all that kind of stuff.
When a windowsills were a big thing for that. I've still seen it on the vents out of roofs.
Yes. The flashing.
Lead flashing.
Yeah, the flashing will be lead a lot of times. Still.
Well, that's not interacting with anything that's potable that's coming in, but yes. And a lot of people have gotten away from the lead flashings.
Yeah, using the rubber ones, yeah.
Yeah.
It's only certain roofs that are using that now. Most of it's rubber now.
So. Yeah. I mean, I've still seen them sold in big box stores.
Oh, yeah. They still sell certainly. They still sell them.
There's one paint that is still used, and that's the road paint. So don't go lick the lines on the road.
No, licking the asphalt.
Or the paint chips that, you know, chip off from that. And it may not be all of them, all of it, but it still could be used for that. So they actually banned the lead in 1978. Being used in paints and houses, that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, they banned it before that, didn't they? And then it just, they left a couple years where it was still filtering out. Wasn't it banned in like 76
or something? There was a lot more concern back at that point. There was more concern about it, and they started trying to get away from it more and more at that point. But
yeah, because the cutoff point is like 78.
78.
Anything painted after 78 is good.
Correct.
Or built after 78.
But early on, before 1940, most of the people had it inside or outside of their house when the house was painted, because it used to be wood sidings. 1940 was the first one. Then 1940 to 1960, you had a drastic reduction. And also say it was about 87% before 1940. After 1940, it got to 69%. And then by 1978, the 60 to 78 time frame, it got down to 24% of the houses were used with lead.
Yeah.
But if it's before 1978 and it never has been tested, then you're going to have to assume there's lead.
That's what a lot of customers just don't understand, is like, why is this more expensive to remove it just because I have an older home when I'm doing renovations? Well, because I don't want to kill your kids.
Right. It's not even the kids. Elderly can be affected by it.
Yeah.
Everybody can be affected by it. Between 20 and probably 50-ish, it's not going to affect you that much. It's still going to affect you. You're going to still get a stomach ache. You're still going to have a nauseous feeling for a while until it works through your system, but it still stays in your system. It is a heavy metal.
Heavy metal, yeah.
The most susceptible are the younger kids and the elderly.
Correct.
Anybody with any kind of lung.
If they're still developing, that is where it will really affect somebody and get kids sick. Poison kids.
I had a friend in Milwaukee, his daughter, they were in an older home. They found out she had lead poisoning. And I mean, there's nothing drastic that's noticeable now. I mean, she could be like maybe barely classified like autistic,
right.
Just like barely, but she's fine now. There was a rough patch for him in there of probably 6-7 years where she was more difficult and, you know, probably got a little bit slower start on the learning, things like that.
Yeah, definitely developmental issues are a cause of lead.
What are the main things that lead can really mess with when you're talking like a younger person? Because mold has the same thing, like it affects the younger and the elderly, but it's mostly breathing problems that creates.
Breathing, mental, definitely. And then you can feel sick, fatigued. Loss of appetite, hyperactivity could be part of it.
Wow.
Irritability when you have lead poisoning. For babies, you got like baby colic, you know, headaches, that kind of stuff. Insomnia could be also another effect of lead.
Wow. It's a lot of more of the mental side effects.
And the joints. It also bothers your joints.
Really?
Yeah.
Like arthritis type of?
Correct, yeah.
Jeez.
Wow. Well, there's still a lot of lead stuff that's out there today.
Correct. Yeah, water services with lead.
Yeah, and equipment, like especially what we do. They're making everything lead-free on the plumbing fittings and all that kind of stuff, ball valves, things like that. What they're still making is lead in the RPZs for irrigation systems. And that's a little bit different. You're not ingesting that water.
Hold on. What the heck is an RPZ?
essentially it's a backflow preventer. It stops water from backing up into the potable water system. So let's say if Mary Lou across the street has a fire, fire department comes out, taps the water main, aka the hydrant, and it pulls a negative because they're sucking all the water out of there. And she has an irrigation system. And if she has one of those on there, her landscaper or whatever sprays down some fertilizer, it will can get into the soil, can get the water pipes there. I'll stop that. So,
all right. Well, let's stop here, take a break, hear a couple words from our sponsors.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Hi, this is Josh on 21.6 The Net. Getting Better Every Day airs Monday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Join Ron Hoistery and Kent Jones for some mental breakfast as they bring the famous quote, "Every day, in every way, I'm getting better and better," to life, in particular, to your life. Getting Better Every Day is made possible through the financial support of William Tanyan & Sons, Inc. William Tanyan & Sons General Contracting. For more information, call 815-385-4466 or at www.wmtanyan.com. That's WMTONYAN.com.
Welcome back to Dream Home Ninjas.
Yeah, that was an enjoyable break.
Yes.
Very.
If you have any concerns about lead, lead poisoning, sources of lead, there is a number out there that you can call to find out more, and that's 1-800-424-LEAD or 1-800-424-5323. Reach out to them. They would be able to help give you the proper resources to know what the concerns are.
Yeah.
Awesome.
If you get tested and you do have lead, you do need to make sure you make contact with poison control, because if you have too much lead in your body, it could be fatal.
It's a heavy metal poisoning.
Correct.
Type of thing.
Yeah.
Now, before the break, Keith brought up something that the plumbing world is kind of switching over to a no lead thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that part of code now?
Yes.
Well, yeah, it's all right here what we're talking about. It's lead safety. The big thing that's going on right now, especially in the city of Chicago, the lead water services, like Mike was talking about, I don't know the exact percentage, but there is a ton of water services, especially in the city of Chicago, that are still lead. Mm. But people are changing them and putting in copper water services.
And the big thing too with the lead services, if it is broken, if there's a problem with it, you have to replace the entire lead water service. You can't do a repair to a lead service anymore.
Wow.
So you have to take it back to wherever it starts.
In an emergency application, I believe that
temporary,
but they have to go in fully replacement.
Now, how do those run?
That's from me in the house to the sidewalk or the parkway area at the house. And then a lot of times it could even be from there to the main, and that could be across the street, in the middle of the street. It could vary. So you could have a very long distance depending on where the house is. And it's a very expensive repair also.
And for, like, there's easements, a sidewalk, all that good stuff. How much is the homeowner actually responsible for? You know, we have a listener here and they've got one of those. Something goes wrong. How much are they actually responsible for taking care of?
That depends on the municipality.
Right.
Some of them, they'll say to the B-box. Some of them, it's all the way to the main. There's a shutoff valve on the main. It's called the corp. That shutoff valve at the main.
Even if it runs across the street?
And replacing the street to fix it.
Liability, all that repairing and everything like that.
Yeah.
They do the same thing with sewer stuff too. So, you know, that's a little different subject, but it's kind of like the same thing. They're throwing the liability on the homeowner.
Jeez. It's your water service, you know?
Yeah.
Some places have things in place for it. Some places don't. So always check your local ordinances and municipality. Go to the village hall, talk to them, find out what's going on. Public Works usually knows what's going on with that
stuff.
They find
you have lead and it being, you know, somewhat damaged can be a very expensive undertaking.
And anytime we talked about doing a temporary repair, you do not want to drink that water at that time. You don't want to brush your teeth with that water. If you move that, even people changing meters and you have a lead service, that could activate more lead to be in your water from then. Also, if it sits for a long period of time, lead could leach into the water before it even gets
into
the
house. Went for like a vacation for say a month or something, like it just sitting stagnant in the lines.
Correct.
Wow.
Because that section of piping is in lead, you know, the lead piping, you got water sitting in there. It's just sitting in there and absorbing whatever's there.
So the only thing we really learned from the Romans, because that's cold water coming in, is just we're not doing hot water through the lead.
Yes.
That's the one thing we learned from the Romans. Let's not do the hot water.
Yes.
There.
And for a long time, even when people have copper pipes, the solder that some of the plumbers use had lead. So just because you have copper pipes doesn't mean you're out of the woods. And if you have older plumbing fixtures, older, like Keith said, older plumbing fixtures did have lead in the plumbing fixture. All brass before about 5 years ago, it all had lead in it because it made it a lot easier to work with. Actually soldered a lot better, that kind of stuff. And then because of this big push of lead-free everything, which is very good. It's going to help people for the rest of our lives and on.
Oh, yeah.
Just because it's a little bit of an inconvenience now, let's look at everybody's health and safety.
We're definitely in an era of being more concerned with longer lifespans, healthier living,
right.
You know, things like that. And some of it goes a little bit extreme, but some of it's just like, oh, yeah, why wasn't this common sense to begin with? And I think this is one of the common sense days.
Right, absolutely. Definitely during construction, that kind of stuff, we will talk more about that in the next segment here about construction part. We're talking a lot about the plumbing aspect, but we've talked about the paint, and that is a huge thing to think about during construction.
Well, and even on the plumbing side, like you guys, to repair even a pipe, it might be galvanized or whatever, but pre-78 home, you got to cut into the wall to even get to it. There's a good chance there's lead in there. You've even got to know about that.
Now with that, with the plumbing, when it comes down to cast iron piping, the cast iron with the old galvanized, it was leaded together. But like with drainage and the local 130 plumbers, that's all they're pouring. Lead joints. Now they're slowly changing that.
Well, and that's not like because it's drainage. That's not so much a concern about necessarily health for the homeowner, although it's in the home. That's a lot of like health for the worker himself.
Right. How you pour that joint is you have to melt that lead that's in the air when you're melting that lead.
Yeah.
So you're breathing the fumes in. That's not good for you either way.
Right.
So like our practice here at Jace Plumbing, we won't pour them anymore.
Yeah.
Like we have to go to the extent of cutting out the fitting to where we can repipe it properly with PVC or attaching it with proper no-hub connectors if we have the choice to do that.
Most inspectors now do not want to see a lead joint poured in a house.
Right.
It's gotten to that point. 8-10 years ago, I did a job in Streamwood for the Streamwood Police Department, and the whole Streamwood Police Department is done in cast iron and poured lead joints.
Wow.
And even at that point, people knew that it wasn't right to do that, and some of the plumbers that were working there were kind of joking around, hey, we should go call the EPA. Because the EPA is who regulates the safety and that makes these laws.
Right.
So they're like, you're tapping out your lead ladle because you're melting it down, like he said. You use a ladle, you scoop it up, and then you pour it into a joint. You take that lead ladle when you're all done and you tap it on the ground to get all the last little particles before you scoop it up. Well, you got lead all over the place at that point.
Yeah.
Not the best way to put joints together anymore. It was like early 80s. They would actually still do wiped lead joints for the lead water service in Illinois.
Yeah.
That is kind of a lost art. It would be really old plumbers now that would still be able to do that or know how to do that. But nobody's going to make a lead wipe joint repair anymore.
Yeah, man. That's one of the interesting things, like with asbestos, you know, especially like it was the workers. They're the ones who had the majority of the damage or lung problems, whatever.
Yeah, the mesothelioma.
Yeah, mesothelioma. It wasn't the homeowner. It was the guy at the factory making it. Now, I did hear an interesting statistic that it was about, I want to say it was 75 to 80% of the mesothelioma cases of workers in it were also smokers. So, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, adding that on top of it probably doesn't help.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah, I mean, although smoking was common for just about everybody.
Right.
I mean,
doctors prescribed it in the 50s.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, there were ads like, you want a smaller baby, easier birth, smoke these cigarettes. I swear to God, commercials from the 50s. You know, like that was a thing. So we're looking out for our health, you know, just corporate America looking out for
us. Okay.
Health.
Yeah, absolutely. So just so everybody can catch that number again, if they have any thought that they may be lead poisoned or they have concerns about it or they want to learn more, you can call that EPA hotline. It's the 1-800-424-5323.
The EPA will take care of
it. They will.
EPA.
Yep. All right. And we'll be back after these commercial messages.
All right. Thank you. Here at Slipstream Studio.
Let's Go Racing airs Monday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. Mike Babich, the voice of Wilmot Raceway, talks all things racing, from the dirt tracks of Wisconsin to the big tracks of NASCAR. See how Mike brings you a daily dose of encouragement using all left-hand turns, brought to you through the financial support of Wilmot Raceway. For more information on Wilmot Raceway, visit www.wilmotraceway.com.
All right, welcome back to Dream Home Ninjas. This is season one, episode 11. We're going to talk a little bit more about lead safety and get into the construction side. But first off, our friend Josh here would like to give a little bit of a shout out to, I believe, your son.
Yeah, my son. He's currently doing infantry training in the Marines out in Camp Pendleton.
Sweet. Like it.
Out to Thomas in 3rd Platoon of Alpha Company in Camp Pendleton.
Marine, awesome. Huh?
Hoorah. Thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you for your service. Thanks to everybody for their service.
Everybody.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing that they're doing. We just went and saw his graduation, and immediately they see him in uniform. They're like, oh, thank you for your service. He's like, I haven't done anything yet. It's like, yeah, I get that, but you got to remember, they're thanking you for taking on the responsibility of protecting our country. You know, so, and that is an amazing thing.
My uncle, Dean McGregor, he was in the Marines for 20 years.
It's awesome.
One of the guys at Jay's, he's a, well, I mean, they can't say ex-Marine because once a Marine,
it's a retired Marine. But... it's never an ex-Marine.
That's right. That's right. Once a Marine, always a Marine. Yeah, I mean, I had a Marine working for me for a good time. They're a unique breed. And I mean, I got to say, work ethic on a Marine far surpasses.
Absolutely. Yeah, any of the services, it don't even necessarily need to be a Marine. Yeah,
absolutely.
Except for those Army guys. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, I got some Navy jokes for you. No, I'm kidding. I grew up in a military house, so I heard it all.
Right.
All right. So let's talk construction side.
Yeah. So, I mean, on the lead stuff on my end, I knew a little bit of it with asbestos and mold. Actually, the mold class that I took, the guys who were teaching it learned and developed the methods based on lead and asbestos remediation. Mm. So as far as mold and how it's handled the same way. One slight difference, you don't do a lot of the wetting down that you do with asbestos and lead. So very, very minor alteration, but otherwise exactly the same.
Why would you have to wet it down?
The wetting of it down for both the asbestos and the lead is for the particles, the dust particles getting into the air. You get them wet so that they are heavier and they don't get into the air.
Oh, okay.
That's the primary purpose for that. When I went to the class, they're very different. Full-on lead remediation is a big-time serious thing where you're going into a house, you're removing any lead in the house, getting it all tested, making sure that everything is safe and removed, which is a big deal for landlords. Selling property, you have to disclose if you know that there's lead in the house for both of those, to a tenant and for a potential buyer. Mm-hmm. So it is a big deal.
And this is from 1978. Or before.
Yes.
That we have to assume there's lead.
Yeah. Even in a purchase agreement or rental agreement, you have to disclose that there could be lead in the home for a potential buyer or renter.
Right.
Whether you know or not, it's a special form that you give that says we don't know or we do know, whichever the case may be, just to warn you there might be.
Right. There's a pamphlet. And if there's tenants, you have to post it at the doors if there's a lot of people in a building before 1978 and you're doing any kind of renovation.
Oh, no, no. I'm just talking like even selling your home to somebody or renting. Renting your home to somebody, you have to notify them. I mean, it's a serious thing all the way around if somebody's going to live there. On the construction side of it, we have to notify if we're doing any kind of work to everybody in the building, if it's a multi-unit property, or if there's tenants, everybody has to sign everything. Yes.
Everybody has to be aware of what could happen with lead poisoning and opening things and exposing and causing that kind of stuff, right?
What I was blown away by when I went to the class was it's not just the drywall. It's not just windows. It's carpet.
Right.
You remove carpet in a house pre-1978. My first thought was, why the hell would you have to deal with lead on that? Nobody painted the carpet.
Right.
Come on. And sure enough, the instructor straight out said, I mean, she was gorgeous, by the way. that is the smartest thing I've ever seen, is putting a pretty lady up there teaching you anything. You will pay attention.
So what's the requirements? How big of an area could you open up and not have to do all this stuff?
Requirement-wise, 6 square feet. I mean, I do it for everything.
It's better to be safe than sorry.
I don't pay attention to what the minimums are. If it's pre-78, they're doing all this.
And usually it's more than 6 square feet anyways. Yeah. It's a foot by 3 foot area. What should people be looking for when they are looking for contractors that are doing work in their house if they are pre-78?
If they're pre-78, they need to have that renovation certificate from the EPA. They need to be certified in lead renovation. If they're not, they risk getting somebody dealing with it wrong and getting somebody sick.
And that's the contractor's fault. They're liable for everything, whoever they hurt.
On that end, when we did the class, they were talking about one of the major box stores was sending out contractors. The box store itself was certified, but but then their contractors weren't. Mm. The box store that was certified got in trouble because of it. They were sending out guys that weren't following the correct procedures.
There's big fines for that, isn't there?
Oh, they got massive, I mean, $1 million fines for that.
And they're constantly checking renovation contractors.
Yeah, the EPA is cracking down harder and harder every year now.
So the guy that's going to do it off the record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they run the risk of potentially getting checked out, it coming up later.
That's really if somebody gets sick. It's off the record right now. Somebody gets sick, then there's a huge investigation that happens at that point.
There definitely is that, but they can also go back and audit any job you've ever done. All they got to do is look up on the address. This is a pre-78. You didn't get it tested. You can't say it's lead-free. Right. They can go to any company and look up any job record you have.
That's remodeling, that's painter, that's a carpet layer.
Yeah, any kind of flooring, any kind of wall. You're working outside, inside, doesn't matter. I mean, almost everything you would potentially do in a home other than slap tile on top of the wall is potential for an audit. By the EPA. And yeah, they're technically a government.
Yeah, the CPA is a government
organization. Yeah, they're like the FBI. Their reign is everywhere.
So containing it is the biggest thing, keeping it wet.
Containing it, keeping it wet. Air filtration is a major thing. An actual certified HEPA filter is one of the most important things. I mean, it's the air filtration because you want to make sure that's where it's going to get to. It's you know, the stuff that falls on the floor isn't a big deal. You sweep that up. It's but the stuff that's going to get into the air.
But you got to use a HEPA filter to vacuum that up.
Oh, a HEPA vacuum. Yep. Yep.
All the way down to using a Swiffer pretty much, right?
Yeah.
And you have to have a certified person come at the very end to double check whoever's doing the works, making sure there's no...
Yep. Yeah, to make sure that it's good.
What is it, like 3 grains? If it's more than 3 grains or something that, if you don't Swiffer it, if you find 3 grains of particles on the ground, that's a fail.
It's a fail. Yep. Yeah, anywhere in there, it's basically like white glove test on steroids.
So that's inside, but then we have outside too. So that those old houses that had the lead paint on the outside, what I saw was it cracks. It almost like shrinks. It like gets that really weird look.
Oh yeah, that spidered like crack all throughout it.
Mm-hmm.
That is lead paint. That is the perfect identifier that it will be lead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that stuff falls to the ground and gets into the dirt, and you know, kids are playing in the dirt.
Oh yeah.
When I did the lead class also, they were talking about a lady that was pregnant and she was eating the dirt by her house, and she was eating it and she got lead poisoning and poisoned her baby that she had. Why somebody's eating dirt? That's a whole different, that could be a whole different show there. But still, the fact of the matter, if you're putting vegetation or you've got a garden right next to your house.
Full circle.
It's getting right in there and you're poisoning yourself.
It's the circle of life, man. The circle.
Right, so baby. If you're not sure to get it tested, if you're presuming or if you've gone to the doctor and thinking that you have lead poisoning or they've told you have lead poisoning, don't forget that you should call the 1-800-424-5323 or the EPA to let them know what's going on. They will investigate the contractor that was working at the house or find out. They will dig in and they will find out who did it.
Yeah, and I mean, definitely go on epa.gov /get lead safe. You know, you find out more information, look it up, look what the symptoms of lead poisoning are. If you feel you have any of those, definitely consult the doctor and get tested. You know, it's a major thing. It's not something to mess with.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got anything else, boys?
No.
No, I think we covered the plumb bum.
We're going to check out for this week. Thank you for listening.
I've been checking out.
Have a good night. Day. Whatever.
Good night.
This is the Dream Home Ninjas, and we're live here at the Slipstream Studios.